Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Terrence McAuley Podcast. I'm your host, Terrence McAuley. In previous episodes, we've talked about the importance of relevant criticism, both in our writing and in our everyday lives. I was fortunate enough this past week, since I launched my podcasts on various platforms, to receive some really great critiques from all of you, and I'd like to mention two people in particular. In the preamble, I read the entire podcast, but in subsequent podcasts, I've always done it off the top of my head with a few notes on the side. Dana told me the conversational method is much better, and so that was my gut feeling as well, so I'm going to stick to it. But I thank Anthony and Dana for their input, and I ask you as well, if you have any ideas, please feel free to give them to me at the end of the podcast. I will give you my email address, and we can touch base that way. The purpose of today's podcast, however, is to discuss my fourth book in the Aaron Mackey series. This one is called The Dark Sunrise. It is published by Kensington in 2020. And like I said, it is the fourth book in the series. But in my mind, at least, it isn't the last book in the series. It's a evolution of the story that began in Where the Bullets Fly. And it takes us on an arc where certain things are concluded, but it certainly doesn't shut the door on future Mackey and Billy Sunday books. So, to make sure that we're all starting literally on the same page, allow me to read to you from the back of the book. The sun is finally set on the violent hailstorm that fell on Dover Station, Montana, like a scourge. But when disaster returns, it falls to a lawman armed with a fistful of vengeance to make things right once more. The burden of the badge. At long last, U.S. Marshal Aaron Mackey and Deputy Billy Sunday will see crime baron James Grant and his kill-crazy cronies stand trial for the mayhem and suffering they unleashed on the people of Dover Station. But as Montana Territory's statehood is approaching, murdering devils like Grant can no longer be tolerated in positions of political power. Or can they? Montana's capital of Helena follows its own set of laws. Laws that not only set Grant free, but give peacekeeping authority to a sadistic murdering gunslinger like Colonel Nathan Rigg, Mackey's commanding officer during the war. The city's leaders prefer keeping killers like Grant and Rigg under their thumbs. Mackey knows there's no controlling these bloodthirsty madmen. And if they think they're above the law, then Mackey and Billy will just have to appoint themselves judge, jury, and executioners. Now, a lot of people who have read this book have asked me if this is the last book in the Mackey Sunday series. And I always tell them no. It definitely finishes an arc that began way back during Where the Bullets Fly, but I don't anticipate this being the last book that features them, and I certainly don't see it as the last book in their careers. I feel that there's still plenty of stories to tell. There are still plenty of new characters and new adventures that they can enjoy, even in Helena, Montana, as U.S. Marshals. And I believe that there's a lot more Montana history that I want to delve into as part of these two characters' ongoing epic. Now, I know a lot of people who read Westerns or have a vision of what a Western is don't expect people who write them to have literary aspirations in mind. They think that they're just going to be shoot-em-up odors and the bad guy will get killed at the end of the day, and the sheriff will ride off with the maiden and then roll the credits. Well, that's not what I set out to do with these novels. I began a journey in Where the Bullets Fly, both for Aaron Mackey and for myself. He was uneasy of himself since he was sick and didn't know how far he could push himself at the beginning of that book. And I was starting out as a brand new writer of Western fiction. So I was unsure of myself, too. but it feels crazy to say this, but it's like we evolved in the genre together. And I believe only a writer could really understand what I mean by that. Anybody else who's a reader or just casually listening to this is probably calling 911 now and having the guys with the butterfly nets come and get me and bring me to the happy place. But it definitely felt like a journey for me, this entire series, all the books. The Dark Sunrise ends a certain part of the journey for me. There's still plenty more Aaron Mackey and Billy Sunday books to come. There's still no shortage of ideas on where I want to take those characters. I even am thinking about going backward and writing a trilogy prequel about their days together in the cavalry, where you do get to see a lot of where they came from and how they became the kinds of characters they are in the books today. But I realized that the time with Dover Station, from a thematic standpoint, was coming to an end. So let me give you an example. We've all been there where, as readers, we follow an author, we follow a series, and then we hit a book where you can tell that their heart might not have been in it, or maybe that they were getting restless with the setting. I'll give you a perfect example from my perspective. I love the Jesse Stone series that Robert B. Parker wrote. I've said in earlier podcasts that he's a personal hero of mine for all of the writing that he did and all the great characters he created and the style that he helped perfect. But I remember I came along one Jesse Stone series novel, and the novel's name escapes me right now, but it was too chock full of humor. It was too chock full of just regular characters that he hadn't even bothered to describe very much, and with his usual aplomb. Now, he went on to write several more Jesse Stone books. Some friends of mine have gone on to write them since he passed, and they've done very well, and for good reason, because they were good books, both when he wrote them and when my friends wrote them. But I was conscious of that when I wrote this series in particular. I knew people had a certain lower expectation of Westerns if they weren't already familiar with how Westerns work. I knew that they would be waiting for me to become formulaic, wait for me to become predictable, and I didn't want that. I didn't think my readership deserved that. I never try to mail in a novel. I always try to make sure, whether my name is on it or not, that I've delivered my best, as I can do it at that time, anyway. So that's why when I set out to write this series, I set out to make sure that it didn't fall into the same pitfalls that other series characters had. I wanted to make it a series where the character evolves constantly, and those people around him, in turn, evolve constantly. I've gone into greater detail about that in previous podcasts. I'm not going to go into it again. I don't like repetition, and I don't want you to get bored either. So what I did was use constant transition as a main theme that ran throughout all of the books. We have a starting point with Where the Bullets Fly, where I allude to Mackey's character's past and his motivations in the present. Then we go into Dark Territory and Get Out of Town, where his new reality, like the one many of us have had to adapt lately, but his new reality settles in, and he adapts to it, and he overcomes it, and he finds friends who were now enemies and enemies who are now friends. His world is very much in flux. And we also see a growth of Billy Sunday as well. He's not just a sidekick character. He actually drives much of the action of the plot. And that was intentional on my part. It culminates in this last book, The Dark Sunrise, because I realized that part of the character's life had to come to an end. Dover Station had served its purpose in setting up the character. It had served its purpose in its own evolution. And since this is a series, it's time to freshen it up a bit. And it was tough for me to put that down in all of the trials and tribulations that I create. again, a non-writer won't believe this is possible, but it's true, because I grew to care for the place. I saw it in my mind. I saw it in everything I did. I knew what the characters looked like, even though I give vague descriptions of how they appear in the books. But it became a comfortable place for me to write. And as an artist, comfort is not always a good thing. You can rest on it for one or two books, but you can't keep doing it book after book. Otherwise, you get sloppy, you lose readers, and you lose your edge. And I didn't want to lose my edge. So I focused on what would be the logical conclusion to the Dover Station part of the saga. It's got the kind of conclusion that I can't discuss too much here in the podcast. Otherwise, you're not going to read the book. But it's probably the most literary book I've ever done, in that it had more of a structure to it with a purpose. I don't outline, like I said in my previous podcasts. I don't outline. I know a lot of people who do. That's great. It works for them. There are several roads to Rome, and outlining is one of them. I choose not to outline. However, in this book, I did have a structure where I knew each character had his or her own arc, his or her own role to play. And I made sure that each of them got the time they deserved and that I felt that the reader deserved, because they had been through such a journey with these characters for four books or so. I definitely have Mackie address some unfinished business, and you also get to see a lot more about Mackie's past in this book than you have in any other of the previous books. Now, that was by design. I don't like to have a huge amount of exposition in my books. I really don't. When I see big paragraphs, and not to run the guy down, but Dan Brown books, when you read them, you see these expositionary paragraphs that are just go on for a long time. You can tell it's just the research that he got and dumped it in there and used it to fill pages. And sometimes he'll throw quotes around some of the information so it looks like dialogue, but it's not really dialogue. That's not a shot at Dan Brown. He's got a lot of great readers, and he's wealthier than I'll ever be, so God bless him. He's doing something right. But it's not my style. It's just not. And I instead focus on showing you a glimpse into Mackie's past. Not a backstory. Not that scene in the Batman movies that we see him fall down a hole and get surrounded by the bats. You know, the origin tale has its limits in books and in movies as well. And I didn't want to write an origin tale. I'll write an origin novel, but I won't write an origin tale in the course of a novel. It pulls you out of the rhythm of it, and I don't like to do things like that. So with this book, instead of me telling you all about Mackie's growth, I actually demonstrate it by bringing back the one person in the world he might fear the most, and that is his nemesis and former commanding officer, Nathan Rigg. Rigg was a great character to write because at this time I knew Dover Station so well. I knew the characters so well, and I knew how he could interact with the different people there. And it was like a homecoming of sorts for me, because I said, God, now I got a juicy character I can really sink my teeth into and have him do all these horrible things that need to be done. Every action in the book, by the way, has its own purpose. It shows the fact that one era is ending and a new one is beginning. I definitely pay homage to what happened in past books, but then I definitely point the reader forward to what I hope is going to be a very bright future for Aaron Mackie and Catherine and Billy Sunday and Jeremiah Halstead, too. Because this book doesn't necessarily set it up, but I was fortunate enough that my publishers wanted a two-book series that was based on Jeremiah Halstead and his own exploits as a deputy United States Marshal in Montana. So look out for those coming out next year. It'll be part of the Jeremiah Halstead series, and I think you're going to like it. If you like these four books, you're definitely going to like to hear more about the gunslinging character of Jeremiah Halstead. And I put him up against some really interesting people and some very bad guys. So stay tuned for more on that as the date draws closer. And right now we are drawing to an end of this particular episode of the Terrence McCauley podcast. If you follow me on Facebook, you might have seen over the past couple of weeks that I've launched a new website. That is www.terrencemcauley.com. It is a brand new website, like I said. It was done by Midstate Design in Minnesota. Corey is a fantastic web developer. I can't recommend them highly enough. And in addition to Corey, I also have to recommend Krista Rolfson Sukup, who is the publicist and owner of the Blue Cottage Agency, whose wisdom guided me through the PR industry as I was looking to relaunch my brand in a way and expand my literary horizons. Her advice is phenomenal. And the funny thing is that my day job was in public affairs and public relations. And when you try to focus on your own career, it's difficult to remain impartial. And Krista's great about keeping some of my dumber ideas from becoming reality. So she saves me from myself every once in a while. So that's, I am eternally grateful to her and Corey. So if you're in the market for a publicist or a website person, free advertising, they're phenomenal. And as always, if you want to reach out to me, you can by emailing me at Terrence, T-E-R-R-E-N-C-E, at terrencemcauley.com. I check that email address all the time. You can reach me through there, or you can reach me through all of my social media platforms, which are clearly listed on my website. The website's also a work in progress. It's going to change a little bit over the course of the next few weeks, but most of it's up there. Most of it is going to remain as it is. But if you have any requests or questions or comments about the site or my books or what I'm doing in general, or just feel like saying hi, feel free to reach out to me. Shoot me an email. Let me know what you think. A lot of you have, and I've been grateful for the criticisms and the nice words you've had to say. I really appreciate it. So until next time, I am Terrence McCauley, and I thank you for tuning in to this episode of the Terrence McCauley Podcast. Be well, everybody, and thank you very much for all your support.